and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen, and welcome to the Remnant Call, everybody. I am your host, Brother Frank, and I'm glad to be back. And my trusty co-host is dialed in from remote and somewhere in an undisclosed location. Brother Todd, are you with us tonight?
I am here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad to be back here. We just came back from a mission trip over into Africa, and I'll tell you what, folks. If you've never been on a mission trip outside of the United States, please do yourself a favor. You got to go. And I know there's missions work all here in the U.S., and they're right across the street. Maybe your neighbor, there's a mission field right in your backyard. But the reason it's important sometimes to go to the third world, to other nations, and a couple reasons is this. First of all, you'll find out that people are hungry for the gospel. They want to know about Jesus. And I tell you, it strengthens your faith when you share the good news of who Jesus is and actually see people responding and excited in the freedom that they find in Jesus. And it's just such a wonderful blessing. But the other thing, too, that you find so often is that we need it for revival in our own lives to continue the work here in the United States. It can get depressing in the U.S. It can be the biggest turnoff. It can really bring you down sometimes when you seem like you're trying to do everything you can to share that good news, and yet sometimes it feels like people just aren't responding as much. And so going out into the third world, you know, reaching out to people and seeing them respond, it helps rekindle that fire, and it also helps us to remind ourselves how good we got it. You know, I just spent the last week and some bathing out of a bucket, using a restroom as a hole in the ground. You know, it was primitive, but I felt such a presence of God up there in the mountains. And it was exciting because Todd, this was his first trip going up into the mountains of Tanzania, and we were up about close to 5,500 feet in elevation in an area. They're kind of secluded up in there, and it's just an amazing place. And Todd, what was it like for your first time up in the mountains of Tanzania?
Well, I'll tell you what. My first time up in the mountains, it was absolutely miraculous. It wasn't just the ambience, even though it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We were above the clouds, people, like to the point where I was staying, sometimes it looked like there was a mist or smoke in the building, and they would say, no, those are just the clouds coming in. We were up there with the clouds. I would have to film and look down to see clouds passing by. It was beautiful. The people are what is so magical about it, because they're different. I don't know how to describe it accurately to somebody who hasn't been over there. Besides the fact that it's a third world country and they don't have the things that we do, they're people, and they're fully and wholly dependent upon whatever is on that mountain. Meaning, you know, they don't have Walmart, they don't have Costco. They grow. And, you know, they're all farmers, so they all have to work for what they eat. Nobody up there doesn't work because, you know, you have to survive. So it's a little bit different than what we have over here. You know, we go to work and then we go and buy our stuff. But the one thing that really stood out to me, Brother Frank, was the compassion for God. So Brother Frank and I stayed in two different places. I did more medical missions, and he did more evangelical. So he got to go out there and really see the people. I was around people who were, for the most part, already Christian. Is that right, Frank?
In your area, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So they were already Christian. They, but it really showed because, you know, the way they would talk to us and they would greet us, they were so grateful for every little thing we would do. You know, I was kind of worried that when I went down there, because I do physical therapy, so I was worried that I wouldn't be able to give them enough, you know, education. They were so grateful for everything. Everything. They come in with tight knees. I'd show them how to roll out their IT bands. I'd show them how to stretch. And they would go away feeling much better and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. So they were just much more grateful. That, and when they prayed, it wasn't just platitudes. It wasn't just some empty rehearsed prayer. They were actually talking to God. I'm going to go out and just say, I felt God literally on that mountain because there was no interference. There weren't the same interferences we have over here. I'm sure God is here too. As a matter of fact, you know, I pray and I believe God is here. But what I'm saying is that I could physically feel his presence up there because I didn't have media. I didn't have the hustle and bustle of my job. And the people seemed to be more in tune with the Holy Spirit up there because they weren't so polluted with the Kardashians or the NFL. And I'm talking about church folk now here at home that are, like, kind of involved with all that stuff, which, you know, hey, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that they don't have those distractions. Mm-hmm. They work for their food, and at the end of the day, it's time to go to bed and, you know, wake up for the next time. You don't have time for all these distractions that we have over here, nor the resources to get them.
Yeah.
So, to me, Brother Frank, I know it's a long-winded answer to your question, but it was phenomenal. I can't wait to go back again. And, yeah.
No, I appreciate that. We're just going to share a little bit here about our mission trip over there. And so Todd, being his first time up there in the mountains, and he got to go out into the area where I was in. It was a little ways away. It was an insane four-wheel drive vehicle ride over there that just literally turned your insides out. And, you know, people up there, you know, there's some sporadic over in the area I was at. A few people had some, there's some electricity, believe it or not. They got it a few years back in the mountains in a few areas, but a lot of people don't have electricity and they still do everything. Even those with electricity still cook over open fire, still cook, you know, do things the old fashioned way, except for they may have a light to turn on at night, or some people have electrical outlet in the wall in a few places. But other than that, you know, still thatched roofs on places, you know, and some metal, but very primitive still. And so Todd got to go over there with me. And I remember we went over there and we preached in the morning. And this was before Todd had to go back for the medical missions, and I actually ended up staying over there permanently. But within a short period of time, we were already in somebody's house, anointing a man, then dedicating a baby, which had no idea was going to happen. But it was ministry in the raw. It's just, and Todd, I was glad that you got to see what that was like, because we would wake up in the morning and we would just go out and we'd start hiking all through the mountains and visiting people and sharing the good news with them and finding out what's their burden, what's on their heart, how is life? And you hear such hard stories, you know, a woman and her husband left her with children, you know, all alone. She's just living on the side of the mountain and you're wondering, how can she make it? And she wants to come back to church. She wants wants revival, and your heart just breaks and goes out, and you see people with, you know, goiter on her neck and problems like that, and it, you know, every new home is a new set of problems, and when you can get in there and you can pray and connect and see God answer prayers and do amazing things. I remember we were there and there was a Maasai up in the mountains with us. We were with the Pari people, and you know, the Maasai and the Pari used to be, you know, mortal enemies. The Pari were peaceful. The Maasai are warriors. But this guy was converted. He was working as an evangelist on foot, spreading the good news. And we were going house to house. I'm like, wow, you know, here's a Maasai help leading the Pari through their own mountains to minister to people. And I remember we went up for a day of fasting and prayer, and we went up on top of this mountain outcropping, and we're sitting there, and there's a bunch of people. They're all working together. These are the evangelists there in the mountain that have been going door to door for this crusade we're doing, and they're just praying. And I never forget, Todd, we're sitting there praying, on all of us are on our knees, and we're reaching out, and here I'm holding this Maasai warrior in my arms, and we're weeping together, and we're all crying, and we're hearing powerful testimonies of demonic deliverances, people, I mean, just things that God was doing. We're just like, wow. And I felt like, you know, at that moment, it's like, you know, I'm such a spiritual high, and I was just blown away at the power of God. And I've been over in the mountains before. I've seen God's power. And you know, sometimes I don't get to go for a couple of years and then I get to go back. It reminds me again that the one we serve is not only mighty, Todd, but he is able and ready and willing to do the impossible. And so it was just,
amen.
You know, the crusade was still going on when I left. I don't even know what the final results are yet, but God is doing something, and it's amazing. And the exciting thing is, Todd, is that there's a village down at the bottom of the mountain. It's got like 3,000 people in it. It's over 80% Muslim. And the plan is to go back there, and hopefully by God's grace, we're going to get the evangelists coming off the mountain, people down in the bottom, going in there for an all-out assault in the name of Jesus to this Muslim village. Because I believe that this village can be converted to Jesus Christ. I believe that it can be. It's over 80% Muslim, about 3,000 people. But when God begins to move, things can happen. You know, the village, it's an interesting dynamic of these people, because yes, they are 80% Muslim, but they're also, many of them, practicing witchcraft at the same time. And so this village is heavily involved in witchcraft and is feared around the area because of its witchcraft practices. But, you know, it's where you see the darkest of places that God is so often ready to do a great work in. And so excited to go back for that and to just, you know, see God do something there in this village and continue missions work. And folks, I want to just encourage you, get out there. You know, sometimes it's, Todd, you've never been there before, but did you initially, you start to wonder, you feel intimidated even though you've never been there, right, at first?
I mean, when you're thinking about going over there, of course, because
yeah, there's malaria, there's diseases, there's things you got to potential, and then of course, you know, all kinds of things run through your mind of what might happen. But when you got there and you saw God working, it was different, wasn't it?
Of course. I mean, you know, you expect this, and I knew this, and I tried my best not to have any kind of, you know, preconceived ideas, but you can't help but to have some. And, yeah, I was nervous because, you know, at first I was saying, oh, Lord, well, what exactly am I going to do here? Lord God, I don't want malaria. I don't want to catch typhoid. Don't let a mosquito bite me. Praise the Lord, nothing bit me. You know, it is kind of nerve-wracking. You're right, Brother Frank, it is. But once you get there, there's this peace that hits you, and then you're just ready to go. It's like, all right, let's get to work. Like, all of a sudden, you just know what to do. And that's just the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he doesn't tell you ahead of time because he needs you to trust him. He needs you to trust him. And once you get there, you know, you're doing his work. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for him. He'll guide you through it. And that's
and you never know what the next moment is going to bring when you're in the mission field. You have no idea. You know, we were on a mission trip, same, you know, over in Africa a few years ago, and we were just coming out of the Serengeti. We were actually at the end of this trip. We decided we wanted to go see the animals. And so we went up there and we were coming out of the Serengeti and we'd had several flat tires coming out of there. And I can remember we stopped in this area and all this commotion is going on around there because people see, oh, here comes a bunch of white Americans coming in there. So automatically, hey, let's go sell them something. So you got people surrounding their vehicles. Our drivers are trying to get the tires fixed on there. And, you know, we're just coming off it was the very end of a mission trip. It was kind of a quick trying to hit out to see the animals and everything. And then we were going to be flying back home. And so, you know, tired from being up in the mountains. And, you know, normally it doesn't bother me when people are coming around to sell stuff, but I just did not want to be bothered, Todd. I was like, please, just, you know, and everybody's trying to sell something. So I'm like, you know what? I thought I had this great idea. You know, maybe I'll just try to flip the tables on everyone. So I had this wonderful idea. I'll just pull my watch off and I'll try to sell it to the people, right, and see what happens. Maybe I'll, you know, frustrate them and they'll leave me alone. Well, next thing you know, now they all want to barter, and I end up having people want to barter at my window. I'm like, what did I just do? And I just wanted people to go away, you know? And so I remember God began to start working on my heart, Todd. I was not expecting what was going to happen that day to happen. But a guy comes up there, and God's starting to work on my heart. And this guy asks us, you know, if we wanted to buy some drugs. And I'm like, wow, that's the first time I've actually been offered drugs over here. I'm like, nah, we don't need any. We're good. And then another guy comes up and the same thing. And I realized, Todd, we're surrounded by drug dealers, believe it or not, up here. We've got drug dealers around the vehicle. And so they're coming up, and I just, you know, want to shut the window and just leave me alone. But God's working on my heart, and I just can't hardly take it anymore because I feel this pressure from the Lord. And so finally, I just, you know, I've got my window back down, and I'm looking at this guy, and I said to this man, I said, look, can you take off your glasses? And so he took off his glasses, and myself being a former drug addict from years ago and many years in drug abuse, I know when someone's messed up. I've seen it and lived it a million times. And I looked in this guy's eyes, and I said to him, I said, you're high, aren't you? And he said, yeah, I am. And I started to share with him the gospel and what Christ had done for me. And I began, and next thing you know, Todd, I got these drug dealers surrounding the vehicle. They're all standing out there and they're listening to me share this good news about Jesus and deliverance from this. And next thing I know, Todd, I got all the people that are on the trip with me. They're all walking around, you know, talking, and nobody's paying attention here. I've got these drug dealers head in my hands and I'm praying. Their heads in my window. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus for these men. And I'll never forget, Todd, this guy right in front of me. It's the first time I'd ever seen something like this. He comes under conviction right in front of me as I'm looking at him. He comes under conviction. And I mean, it was like all of a sudden his arms just dropped to his side. And it's like his shoulders slumped down. And it was like he got it.
Yeah.
And he left and went home that day. And I saw God work a miracle I could not have ever imagined over there. I had no idea. I thought these people were just bothering me. But when God was working on my heart and I watched him bring conviction. And I, at that moment, I just realized there's nothing God can't do. And when you're overseas and you're out of your comfort zone and you let God work through you, Todd, he will do some wonderful things. And I know you got to see some of that over there in Africa. And I want to encourage, you know, our listeners that that's just one story of so many. You know, I mean, I could turn this into the night of mission stories because there's always more and more. I mean, lady healed of cancer, had a big old lump on her back, Todd George was, she came out and like had a dream that George was coming down the road. So George walks down the road. This lady comes out, kind of startles him. He ends up praying for her. She goes back all the way down to Darslam, you know, hours down the road. They said, woman, we don't know what happened to your cancer, but it's gone.
It's like that time when you went up there and you anointed that guy who had all those problems. I believed in my heart. I knew. I had faith, and I had the spiritual knowledge that he was healed because God answers prayer on that mountain because those people have faith. And the ones who don't want to, and they will, God is saving souls up there. It reminds me of that verse in the Bible when it talks about, you know, the rich man is...
easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes.
A lot of people look at that and they're like, yeah, well, you know, hey, man, I guess that's one rich not being rich. But when you look over here, almost everybody's rich to what we see over there. You know, I don't care how much debt you have or what's wrong with you or whatever it is, you have way more than people in third world countries. And I believe that that was implied in that statement because we have so much sometimes that we just can't make that connection. We don't need God, you know, enough to really latch on to him. Because he's there, he's willing to help. And that could be part of the reason why we don't see so many miracles over here. But, hey, I'm going to leave it there.
Well, you know, to them over there, God is everything. They have nothing. And I see the blessing of having nothing. Because when you have nothing, God is everything. And if God doesn't come through, they're finished. And here in America, we've got everything. There's nothing we need. We have more. When it comes to Christianity, we have every translation, lexicon, cross-referencing tool, Bible commentary. We have everything a person can need, yet we have lack of spirituality in this country. And yet we have so many resources. Here they have just a little, yet their spirituality is huge. And they believe in God. Todd, the last day I was there before I came back over into the area where you were at, and folks, we were all up in the mountains. I was just some few ridges away. And when I came the last day there, Todd, I preached the last, my last time there at the crusade, and before someone else, the translator actually took over and continued on preaching through it. And I remember afterwards, Todd, I made a call to the people, and they came forward, and we talked about this undying need to reach the lost, and there was such a commitment there. And I remember feeling that emotion of having to leave the people, and I went out there, and we cried together, all of us.
Yeah.
And Todd, when I saw their tears in their eyes, and here I am, a white man, a Mzungu, right? I'm a white man from the U.S. They're black, you know? And you know, all the things we got going on with the racism and people talking about and all these crazy stuff in the U.S. and hatred of everyone, hating everybody. You know what, Todd? I felt like I was one of them. I felt no difference because at the end of the day, folks, Todd's black, I'm white, our other good friend, he's Hispanic, we're with all black people, and the fact is that if you cut each one of us, our blood runs red. These people are just as much a child of the living God as you and I are, folks. And when I see the love for the master that they have, it breaks your heart. because you realize how truly blessed we are, yet we don't even, we take it for granted in this country, Todd. And you got, that's Todd, so you experienced that when you went back to church and you hear some of the things like that, and it's nothing personal, but you hear the conversations going on, and in your heart, you're thinking, there's a dying world, and this is what we're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. There's stuff out there that'll make your hair crawl, and we're still dealing with basic morality issues. Like, it's time to graduate from Sabbath school, y'all. This goes out to Sunday school. It's time to graduate from
That's right. That's right. Folks, I know we've got differencing audiences here. We've got Sabbath keepers. We've got Sunday keepers. You know, Sabbath school, Sunday school. What, folks, let me tell you right now. It doesn't matter which church you're going to. I'm going to say this. If you're not outreaching the lost, what are you doing? You can argue about your doctrine till the cows come home. But the fact is, at the end of the day, that we have a great commission to go out there and reach the lost. We can debate over the truth in God's word. And folks, I am adamantly into obedience of God's word. But the fact is, I've seen it in all churches. They love to come and say hallelujah and praise the Lord. But Lord, help us if we actually get out of our pews and go and do something about it. But you know, at the end of time, God's got a question, and it's in Matthew 25. And Todd, it's real simple. It's real simple. He doesn't ask us about our doctrine, which is important. He doesn't ask us, you know, about, you know, how we thought about this prophecy or that prophecy. And it is important. Don't get me wrong. But he says to us, what did you do for the least of these? When they were sick, did you visit them? When they are hungry, did you feed them? When they are naked, did you clothe them? See, true religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows.
Yeah.
Take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Because if you want a real blessing, well, then you got to get in with the poor. And you got to get down in with the nitty-gritty of this world. And I'll tell you what, it's when you get in those raw situations that God pours out a huge blessing. And Todd, I know you felt that blessing being over there. Because even though the area you were in, many of them, not all, knew, had a knowledge of Jesus over in that area. Todd, they had nothing, did they?
Nothing. Nothing.
Dirt floors. Absolutely. In their homes. Yet, Todd, I remember the first time somebody was grateful over a ballpoint pen.
Yeah. That's incredible, isn't it?
Over
How
a
many
ball
times do we
point?
Lose one of those every day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Is God calling?
Yes.
Folks, what's God telling you to do? What have you been ignoring in your life? Has he been telling you to get out there? Has he been telling you to take a risk? You know, if you will never step out of the boat, you know, if you will never go out into the stormy seas, then how can God ever say, peace, be still?
You know, this is an interesting thing that to anybody out there who's been praying that God get you closer to him, or that you become closer to God and you want to, you know, grow in the spirit, you know, pay attention to what's happening around you, because maybe there's a need in your church or in your community. Maybe that little old lady beside you, the next door or right across the street, need some company, just some company. And maybe this is God's way of softening your heart working on your patience, working on you, because there's no way you're going to get close to him if you can't even be close to his own creation, because he loves us all. So, you know, if you're asking God to get closer to him, I'm only speaking from experience. You know, sometimes he's using other people to accomplish that means, because it's going to be dealing with people. It's hard. Isn't that right, Frank? Dealing with people sometimes it's hard. Some people are crazy. Some people are super needy. Some people, you know, you try to help them and they don't change and they get on your nerves. And then at that point in time, you got to wonder, what do you look like to God sometimes? But, you know, dealing with people will mold your character. And when you go over and do a mission trip, it softens your heart. It opens your eyes. It definitely allows to enter your heart. Because it softens your heart.
Folks, it's important. You know, there's been so much talk about social justice and things going on there, but you know, God has his own form. It's called Matthew 25. I want to challenge you to reread it. Take it seriously. This politically driven social justice, it's just the world. But God's method, in Matthew 25, it's real. It's what God wants us to do, because he knows that when you go out and bless others, you'll get blessed in return. So I want to challenge you to read it, to stop ignoring what God is calling you to do and to just go out and do it. Take a chance, take a risk, and watch God come through for you. Jesus is coming soon. The world is falling apart. You know, there is so much confusion going on out there in the world. And you know, there is so much utter wickedness going on in the world right now, from perversions, from deceptions, from everything you can think of. It is happening right now. And if you can't even go out and share this good news with someone else because you're so afraid that they may say no, then what are you going to do when they come for you to put you in an internment camp because of your faith for Jesus Christ? And if you think that's not possible, then I would please ask you to just study history and find out about the believers who lost their necks.
That's right.
Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you don't think history will repeat itself, then you're not a very good student of history. So, folks, I just want to say thank you so much. May God bless. Todd, thanks for joining us tonight. And I'm going to ask, Todd, would you just close us out with a word of prayer?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for being there for us, Lord, even though we turn our backs on you all the time. God, Lord, I humbly pray for all those under the sound of my voice, that you penetrate their hearts and that you show them exactly what your desire for their lives are. Lord God, I pray that you lead and guide every single one of us. Lord, help us to grow and comfort us through the growing pains, Lord, as we grow spiritually. God, give us comfort in the thought that you are always here and you died for us. You died for us so that we might live eternally. So there's nothing that you wouldn't do to save us, Lord. But please instill that in every heart under the sound of my voice tonight. Give us strength as we move forward. God, I pray for those in Africa, Tanzania, where we came from. God, please comfort the comfortless and be a father to the fatherless, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen, folks. just want to encourage you to listen to what God's saying. Take that risk. Get in your prayer closets. Get serious and let God make a change in your life. And this is Brother Frank and Brother Todd with the Remnant Call saying good night, everybody, and shalom.
Shalom.